The Panifica bakery in Paris does a brisk trade in the late afternoon. There's a steady stream of customers coming in to buy bread for dinner, a croissant for a snack, or just to sit down at one of the handful of tables for a cup of coffee.
We have a fairly large range of bread. We have a limited range of cakes. We make a viennoiserie, which is a croissant, pain au chocolat, pain au raisin, all sorts of little breads with sugar and butter.
That's Panifica's co-founder, François Brault, a banker turned baker. He left his last job at a hedge fund 4 years ago to train as a baker and open this shop. Butter, he says, is key to this business. He goes down to the basement kitchen, which is empty right now. Preparations for the next morning have already been done.
You see it here?
He points to a hunk of golden yellow butter on one of the metal counters.
It's golden color.
Golden color, not quite the price of gold yet. Next to it is a sealed cardboard box.
This is 25 kilos of butter.
He receives about two of these 25-kilo boxes a week, plus a number of preformed slabs of butter that are stored in a fridge.
So this is It's a 2 kilo slab of butter, a little over 1.5 centimeter thick, and ready to spread.
Ready to spread, to put into the laminating machine, which the bakers use to make puff pastry that's used to make croissants and other pastries. It helps make layers upon layers of butter and flour.
We put butter on top of the flour, and then we fold it, laminate, fold again, laminate, until we have sheets of flour separated by layers of butter. The most important constituent of the price of a croissant is labor. That said, 70% of the material cost of a croissant is butter. So butter is by far the most expensive ingredient in a croissant.
Panifica's croissants sell for €1.10. It's a pretty standard price for Paris. Plus, they're made with organic flour and high-grade butter. Brault says he couldn't increase the price very easily, even if he wanted to. Customers would revolt.
Until the mid-80s in France, the price of the baguette was fixed by the government. And even though the price is free now, people have some kind of set price in their mind about how much a baguette or a croissant should cost.
And yet bakers across France today are having to rethink the cost of their croissants because of a massive increase in the cost of butter over the last year. France's so-called butter crisis is actually a Europe-wide issue and is a problem of supply and demand. Dairy farmers have reduced their production after a drop in milk prices last year, following the end of the EU's milk quotas in 2015, which shook up the market. On top of this is an increasing demand for butter worldwide. So low supply, high demand, that means prices have shot up. The basic price of butter has almost tripled over the last year and a half. But distributors can't pass that increase on to customers just yet because they set butter prices with supermarkets only once a year, in February. So for now, supermarkets are only paying last year's prices. Distributors are therefore offering less to avoid selling it at a loss. So there is a shortage for customers. Bakers buy butter wholesale and are paying market prices, so they're not feeling the shortage, but they are feeling the price increases. François Brault says the price of his butter, which is high grade, has gone up over the last year from €4.50 a kilo to just under €9.
Initially, we didn't see the beginning of the price rise because we were all along using the best quality butter available. So when prices started to go up, we didn't see it at first, but then overall, we pay double from what we paid last year for the same butter.
For now, he says he's not increasing the prices of his products. He's accepting smaller margins on his business and watching the market closely. But he believes that all bakers will have to increase their prices eventually.
This system of yearly price negotiations with supermarkets happens around February, so it's likely that we will kind of stand still until February and see whether the prices are there for the long term or whether they kind of recess a little bit. I don't think that anyone really expects price to come back to where they were. Let's see if they stay where they are or worsen into real shortages. And then we'll be in a better position, hopefully, to pass on to the consumers, you know, some of the price.
Supply problems in his industry aren't new, he says.
About a year ago, everybody was complaining about the price of almonds because of the drought in California. This was very, very important for the galette, which is a seasonal product in the beginning of the year. This year, it's a butter, and unfortunately, galettes are made with almonds and butter. So we've seen raw material product price increase before. It's just this time it's a bigger increase, and also it's for one of the more essential products.
But not every baker considers butter to be an essential product.
We can create very, very good things without butter, using vegetable fat, different oil like cocoa butter and coconut oil. And you can make very good croissant and pain au chocolat with margarine.
Linda Vangdara is a vegan pastry chef. She makes cakes and croissants without animal products, without butter or dairy or eggs. She's sitting in a Paris cafe down the street from Rose Bakery, drinking a hot cider. She currently teaches vegan pastry to other chefs, and she's developing recipes for a shop that she'll open in Paris next year. But you won't find the same kind of products in her shop that you do in a more traditional bakery like Panifica.
You won't find Saint-Honoré or the classical millefeuille. I can do it in vegan way, but what's interesting for me, it's new things you have never seen and never tasted before. When I started doing vegan pastry, I wanted to replace things, but it's not a good solution. Because French pastry is like, they say, the exact science. If you change one ingredient, your equation, it can't work. You have to think again all the equation. So it's not imitation, it's creation. It's hard because you have to forget what you know. It's easier for me because I make pastry since few years. It's not all my life.
Pastry is Vangdara's second career. She was a fashion designer for 15 years. She left that industry and went to cooking school to learn how to make French pastries, the traditional way. She was surprised by how much butter was used.
So much butter inside and so much sugar. I have discussion with my teacher and I explained him I wanted to do something different. Why so much butter? Why so much sugar? Everybody knows it's not good for a lot of reasons. He said to me, that's true. If you want to do something, do it.
With her teacher's encouragement, Vangdara started exploring dairy-free options. But after tasting vegan cakes and pastries, she was disappointed.
I have started to taste anything I could taste vegan. And I ate all vegan pastry I could. And I just tell myself, oh my God, it is awful. Not good at all. There is a big challenge.
The challenge was attractive to her, and she also became something of a convert after learning about animal rights and environmental issues. She started working on developing her own products, and she's come up with some base ingredients. One is a fruit mousse.
I called it mousse de fomico, like foamy in English, but co, it's my Chinese origin. It's fruit in Chinese, in my Cantonese. So it's a fruit foam with 60% of fruit, so a lot of fruit, and there's no fat at all. When you eat this, it seems like you eat something like a cloud, like a fruit cloud, but it's not like something you know. It's new.
She makes this with aquafaba, which is chickpea water that's whipped into a texture that resembles egg whites. She also developed a vegan whipped cream.
With soy milk and cocoa butter, you can have exactly the same texture, but less fat. The flavor is very neutral, so you can put what you want inside.
So what does she think about this butter crisis in France?
It's just about butter. You know, what is butter? It's just one ingredient, but it's symbolic. Pastry isn't a food like another food. It's very symbolic. It's something you share. It's all about emotions, you know. When you eat something good, it creates emotion. Anybody in France knows the taste of butter. It's something wonderful. It's traditional. It's our history. So it's very difficult to change it.
Baker François Brault would agree it's difficult to change, and for him, butter is the taste of French pastry.
I don't think there is anything that would replace the taste of butter.
People who like butter can like and love chocolate, can love fruits, can love texture like crispy, crunchy, like something who is very soft, something. So you have a lot of things you can love. It's all about being open-minded. If something is good, it's just one good reason to go to taste it.
Wherever you stand on the butter continuum, there will be a while to taste all of these products, as the butter crisis will unlikely resolve itself anytime soon. Sarah Elzis, RFI, Paris.